You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Our traditional model of the universe has always said that planets are formed with an accompanying solar system. That is, most stars have their own planets and most planets have their own stars. However, scientists have suggested that starless planets may exist. Now, a new telescope has taken images to prove that this is indeed the case. The James Webb Space Telescope has captured not one, but two planets orbiting each other far away from the gravity of a sun. To find out more about this and what it means for us, I spoke to Dr. Nick Rattenbury, a senior professor at the University of Auckland and the former president of the Royal Astronomical Society of New Zealand. I started our interview by asking how these planets formed.
So these are observations which have been made by the James Webb Space Telescope. This is an incredible new instrument which has been launched. It has a segmented mirror, so that the mirror's about 6.5 meters across, but it's made up of individual bits. And it operates in the infrared. This gives us a different window, if you like, into the universe and the things in it. It is able to look through the clouds of gas and dust and produce images of incredible detail. And in some of these images, they've discovered pairs of objects which have been identified as planets. And they're orbiting around each other, but they are not orbiting themselves around a star. So typically we recognize, or we come to think that the normal way that planets exist in our universe is that they orbit around a star, like our planets orbit around our sun. But over the years, there has been mounting evidence that planets can just exist in the universe, do exist in the universe, not orbiting around a sun at all, not orbiting around a star at all. They're just floating through the universe by themselves. Okay, so this is evidence which has been developed in part by the collaboration of which I'm a part, the microlensing observations in astrophysics. This is a Japan, US, New Zealand collaboration which observes out of New Zealand down at Lake Takapo with the country's biggest telescope. And over the years, we have been making our observations and we have been inferring the presence of starless planets. Planets are just floating their way through the galaxy, not orbiting a star. Now, with the James Webb Space Telescope observations, they have found the same thing. They've actually now got images of these planets. But these images are of planets not just by themselves floating through the galaxy without a star, but they're orbiting around a partner. They have binary planets. Now, understanding how planets form is quite complicated. And we'll just briefly go through it really quick. So you have a big cloud of gas and dust, and it starts to collapse underneath its own gravity, forms a disk, and then little bits and pieces of that gas and dust clump together to form bigger pieces of gas and dust, and they themselves clump together to form progressively bigger and bigger objects. Those progressively bigger and bigger objects have their own gravity, and that starts attracting more bits of gas and dust, and so you slowly start to accrete matter into these big blobs called planetoids, which they then crash into each other and they form planets. And at the center of this gas and dust disk is the protostar, is a big clump of gas and dust, which will eventually become that planetary system's star. Okay, so this is our understanding of how a solar system like our own formed. So where do these free-floating planets come from? Where do these planets who just exist by themselves come from? Well, the theory goes that, okay, you can, in the process of forming a planetary system like our solar system, eject planets. So when these objects are crashing into each other and are forming larger objects, they're all moving around, it's a very dynamic system, you can have gravitational influences or perturbations, which means that some of the stuff just gets flung out of that process. You can have planets being ejected from that protoplanetary disk and start flying through the galaxy by themselves. So this is the theory by which we think, okay, well, if we're finding these planets not orbiting a star, just flying through the galaxy by themselves, then I guess they were formed in a protoplanetary disk, but they were ejected in some fashion, thrown out.
Is it likely that there are more of these objects, or are they quite rare?
This is a standing question at the moment. So when you take we take these ideas, these observations to theorists who have to sit down and go, okay, right, now we have to come up with a theory of how we eject these planets, then there's still an open question of, well, okay, so if you end up with a planetary system of, let's say, 8 planets and a whole bunch of minor planets like our solar system, In that process, forming that planetary system, how many planets or planetoids would have been thrown out during that process? That's an open question. So it varies from not too many to a great deal. So this is an exciting and interesting question that needs to be answered.
To me, this discovery was quite interesting because the distance of stars has always posed a challenge for us in visiting planets outside of our solar system. Now, an obvious question might be, how likely is organic life to form on a planet without an accompanying star?
Okay, so this is a question about the emergence of life, and this is something which we touch on at university here. If you come along to a course called Astrobiology 200, we talk about all those sort of elements which goes into what do you need to have on a world that allows life to take hold. And we start off with the easy question, which is like, well, what's life anyway? And so the whole question about what is life, how do we define it, how would we know it when we saw it? Does it look like us? Does it act like us? Does it smell like us? Or is it something completely different but still has processes that we would recognize as being similar to the life processes that we see here on Earth? They themselves are tricky questions. And then you want to load in the question of, all right, most of the life processes here on Earth, we see derive, we thought, their energy, if you like, or how they manage to become alive from energy received from the sun. So plants that we see around us, they transform solar energy into energy that they can use. More complicated creatures like ourselves, we eat those plants, or perhaps eat the animals that eat those plants, et cetera, et cetera. So we all thought we derived everything ultimately from energy received from the sun. And then later observations, later discoveries in interesting parts of the Earth's surface that we can access, subsurface areas as well, we've found that life can take a hold in a variety of places, places which do not derive ultimately energy from the sun. So these are forms of life called extremophiles, things which like living in extreme conditions. And those extreme conditions could be, for instance, on the bottom of the sea floor near a hydrothermal vent where the energy is actually being produced by the hot water coming from heat processes deep within the Earth, which have nothing to do with energy received from the sun, but ultimately come from leftover energy from the formation of the Earth. We've found other processes which have life existing in extreme cold, extremely acidic conditions as well. So that broadened our understanding of where life processes could take place. So when we take away the one thing that we used to think was the source of energy and the where we derive the energy for life processes on Earth, the sun or a star, and say, oh, actually, no, we've found evidence of life which seems to be quite happy in the absence of a star. Then we start asking more interesting questions like, could there be basic life formation taking place, existing, taking hold on a world which does not have energy being received from a host star? So that's not to say that this is absolutely going to happen. Where are we going to find life on these sort of sunless worlds? But our understanding of life processes on Earth has expanded our understanding of what life is and where it can take hold, even on our own Earth. And that opens up the questions of, okay, well, now we have a whole range of other world surfaces that we could explore looking for evidence of life within our own solar system, like the icy moons of Jupiter, for instance, and by extension, possibly these ancient worlds, these worlds which have been ejected from their protoplanetary systems, if life processes had started on there, could they be existing in the subsurface near a source of energy that is still remnants in there? We don't know.
That was Dr. Nick Rattenbury on the discovery and photography of new starless planets.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.